It's time now for the KUMD Bear Grease Report.
Sponsored in part by Wolfsong Adventures in Mushing, Energy Plus of Duluth, and Wintergreen Northern Wear. We are now joined here on Music Through the Day by Jason Rice. How's it going, Jason?
Hey, good. How are you?
I am good. How's it going? We've got some new stuff to go with the race, as we've seen a few mushers rolling in to the next stop. What have you been seeing with this last leg? That was leg 4, Sawbill to Trail Center.
Yeah, that's a good long leg, and it starts out with a whole bunch of really steep hills. So the dogs come off of that rest needing to really tug up some steep hills immediately coming out of the Sawbill checkpoint up there near Tofty, Minnesota. 51.3 miles run. It seems like it takes forever to get there. I know from having run it a few times myself, it certainly just kind of drags and drags. Middle of the day when things start to get to about their peak temperature, you're just wishing that you could get in there and get those dogs bedded down and avoid the warmth of the day. Warmth has been kind of a theme, as we've seen these past 24 hours of the John Bear Grease Sled Dog Marathon. It's just incredibly warm on these dogs. And to put it into perspective, what the dogs in the Bear Grease are going through right now would be similar to you or me running Grandma's Marathon at about 85 degrees ambient air temperature. It's just harsh. Can you do it? Sure. But you're going to have a harder time staying hydrated. So it's a challenge. But we've got a real tight race, actually, to this point, led by Aaron Ultimus, Ryan Reddington, Sarah Kiefer, and Aaron Letzring, really tightly packed all together. When you look at the amount of rest they've taken, the amount of run time, it looks like if you do the math to equalize them, Ryan Reddington might have a slight lead on the rest of the pack, even though he was second in to arrive at Trail Center in the middle of the Gunflint Trail, and running really close with him in time would be Aaron Letzring, and then Aaron Ultimus, of course, who arrived first. She got a head start on them. She got to leave a few minutes earlier than they did from Sawbill. But when you compare the times and the amount that they've rested and their speed on the trail, it's a really tight race.
Yes, I want to get back to that heat you were talking about. If it is about the equivalent of a human running Grandma's in 80 degrees, I know that I could not run the marathon in even the most perfect conditions. But what are these dogs, what would they rather have the temperature be? What would be ideal for them as they are racing?
10 or 15 below.
10 or 15 below, so way below,
yeah,
where we're at. And does that just compound on a stretch like you were talking about where there's some long uphills? Is that just going to add on to that?
Sure. It doesn't necessarily. So the uphill, they're working, but they're working in a slow, strong, steady method, pulling a sled up the hill. And pulling uphill, most mushers will get off that sled and run alongside, or if nothing else, at least help what we call pedal, where they kick. You see them kick and push off the ground to the side of the sled. At the very least, they should be pedaling. But in most cases, the competitive teams, I guarantee you, those first four teams that came in, there was some running going up those hills. They know that every pound pulled off of that sled as they're going up a steep hill. Imagine going up something like Spirit Mountain here in Duluth, and imagine doing it 20 times in about an hour. That's what they're going through. And it's a slow slog uphill, but you make it more efficiently and with less stress on the dogs if you, the musher, can get off and run as much of that hill as you're able to help with.
That can really help. So these mushers are also training pretty hard, I bet, just for their own physical stamina along with the dogs, if that helps out, or if that is a common way to do it. Among those four who you just talked about, we've got Reddington, Kiefer, Ultimus, and Letzring, who have come in to the Trail Center. We're seeing here that Reddington has one less dog than a couple others and two less dogs than Ultimus. Do you think that is going to make a play at all over the rest of the race, that difference in how many dogs Reddington has?
I'll say it this way. It can make a difference. There are still more hills ahead of them on this trail. And, of course, you don't like reducing horsepower. But at the same time, if you've got a dog that, for some reason, the heat is affecting one particular dog, just like some people can handle running in the heat better than others, some dogs handle running in the heat better than others. If you wind up, and remember, you're only as good as what that weakest link is in your team. Sometimes you actually get faster by removing a dog that didn't quite keep the same pace later in the race. They were an excellent dog for the first, say, 100 miles, first 150 miles. They've just crossed the 150-mile point in the race now. There are certain dogs that are fantastic. And remember, these guys strategize right down to which dog is going to make it so far in the race. You'd like to think that all 12 dogs that you start with are all equally matched, and all, as long as you take care of them, all 12 could make it to the finish line. That would be best case scenario. Most teams have one or two dogs, sometimes more, or if you're really lucky, none at all, that you know what, later in the race, when we get to about the 200-mile point, I'm going to let dog A sit out the rest, because the team can maintain a speed, a higher speed, without that one dog or two dogs. So in theory, they can actually speed up by taking a couple of players out who just can't go at the same speed the others do.
Okay, so you might see some dogs being removed from teams here as we get closer to the end of the race. Let's take it back. We've talked about those four in the front. Still a lot of mushers out on the trail right now. What do you think they are thinking? Are they, some of them have had a strategy of resting a bit more, or just moving at different speeds? Do you think anyone else can really break into that lead group? Are there any out there who can make up some time in different ways? What's your take on the rest of the race as well?
Yeah, so there's a lot of great mushers out there. Blake Frecking is still on his way, heading towards the checkpoint at Trail Center Lodge. Errol Wallen, who's running a great team of dogs from the Wallen Kennel in Two Harbors. Jennifer Frecking. There's all kinds of people still out there who are good at this, right? Nobody is terrible at this sport. The difference, I think, comes down to, with the speed that the four front runners have going right now and the amount of rest that they've already accumulated themselves, remember, they only have to hit a bare minimum of rest for the race, 24 hours. Once they've accumulated their mandatory rest, and I should double-check that because this year it's one less leg in the race, so it might actually be slightly lower, more like 20. But once they've hit their mandatory rest, they're not required to keep resting any longer. So each team, you notice, seems to be resting about 3.5 or 4 hours at every checkpoint, regardless of how long the run was. Mm-hmm. That's so that once they get to that very last checkpoint, they only have to sit there for exactly 4 hours, and they can leave right at 4 hours and 1 second. So the idea here is to amass enough rest time so that the very last checkpoint, where you're required to rest for 4 hours, this year that checkpoint in question will be the next one that they're coming to. It's Skyport on Devil Track Lake. They will be required to stay there for 4 hours. They can stay longer if they want. I guarantee you at that phase of the race, going into the very last leg, they don't want to stay there 1 second past 4 hours of rest. So the idea is get all of your rest other than 4 hours accumulated, and you'll see some math going on at that checkpoint right now where mushers and handlers are figuring out exactly how much rest to take so that when they leave there, they will have exactly 4 hours of rest remaining for them at the final checkpoint.
So a lot of numbers, number crunching going on into the strategies still to come here on the race. Next up, after this section, we've got Trail Center to Skyport. You want to give us a little info about that next leg of the race? And does it favor anyone, or what's that looking like compared to this past leg we just saw?
Well, just like they say in football, any given Sunday, right? In this case, we're going to convert that any given Monday in the Bear Grease. I would say after the rest that they have, that they take approximately 4 hours, you'll see some of them take a little bit more than 4 hours at Trail Center. This is a challenging run. There are some hills for them to do, but the real challenge in this roughly 50-mile stretch to go from Trail Center, then they kind of head west, northwest, further out the Gunflint Trail, then they kind of do a turnaround. It's been nicknamed the Loop to Nowhere. They turn around and then they come back across that lake, across Poplar Lake, but instead of coming back to the Trail Center checkpoint, you have to call your dogs off and veer them to the right. Now, I bring this up because a lot of these mushers have run in the Gunflint Mail Run, where the dogs leave from Trail Center Lodge, that race, they leave from Trail Center, they go do this Loop to Nowhere, and then they come on back to Trail Center Lodge, and then they do it all again after taking a rest. So it's just two trips around the same track. Dogs remember previous races, and they remember the path they took, and they remember the reward they get at the end, getting that nice hot meal of meat and kibble and water. Well, some dogs, I think that top four that you're looking at there, they're all experienced with running that race and the Bear Grease, and they've got enough control over their leaders that I think they'll be able to call them off and get them to take that right turn and not go back to Trail Center. I was not that fortunate a few years ago when I ran, and my dogs took me right back to the dock on Poplar Lake, back to Trail Center. And, of course, I had to get them turned around, head back out on the trail, and regain the direction we were going. But I think that this, it's the length of this one. The last stretch is probably 6 or 7 miles going across, just straight across the Devil Track Lake. And depending on whether or not the wind kicks up, sometimes there's just snow. Even if it's not snowing out, the wind picks up the snow that's in drifts on the lake, and it just blows it in your face. And when you're wearing that headlamp at night, it'll be dark as they come in there tonight. You're wearing that headlamp, and sometimes those little wind gusts just white out what you can see as a musher coming across that lake. And at times, you wonder if you lost the trail.
Mm-hmm. Is there any, with the, looks like they're going to be staying at this next one for about 4 hours or so. Do you think people are timing it out? So with these hot conditions, do they want to be on trail in the evening? Or would they rather, you know, is it better to be able to see where you're going a little clearer? Or do they like to have that a little colder, so maybe not as sticky as snow?
Yeah, it's definitely, if and when possible, you would love to put your miles on at night. The temperature is cooler. The trail's usually a little firmer, which means faster times. The sled glides along easier once a trail has set up. The dogs have to exert a little less energy in order to pull you. And dogs just biologically, they like to run together at night. It's that pack mentality. They like to hunt together, and night brings it out in them. If you look at their ancestors, the wolf, they prefer to do their wandering and their running and chasing and hunting at night. That same mentality is what goes through sled dogs' minds. They're running together in a pack, and especially like you're out there on a full moonlit night. I've never seen a dog team that I've driven go faster than you do at night. So I think you'd prefer to. The problem is the Bear Grease is actually short enough of a race that you don't have time to plan to do all of the runs exactly when you want them. You got to go when the other teams are going. There really isn't another way to do the Bear Grease. You look at the Iditarod, where they'll have some legs of the race are 100 miles long. They will choose to rest long during the day, let the dogs get a lot of rest, and then to put on these big, long 80, 90, 100-mile runs straight through, but they do it at night so that the dogs are in their, biologically, in their natural form.
So it's a bit of a choice, but due to the size of the of the race not as large of an effect as it could have in other dog races. Thank you so much, Jason. It is so helpful to have a former musher helping us decipher all these different things going on in this dog race. Thanks a bunch for helping us out.
You're welcome. Thanks for the interest.
And thank you to Jason Rice helping us out here on KUMD.
Support for KMD's Bear Grease coverage is provided in part by Camp Chow, Wolfsong Adventures in Mushing, Energy Plus of Duluth, and Wintergreen Northern Wear. Additional funding provided by the Minnesota Arts and Cultural Heritage Fund.